Savior. Amen. If you wanted me to sum up the meaning of today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 18, I guess I would have to say the following. To sum it up, I would have to say, cherish the children. But why the word cherish? Well, one obvious reason is that most people would agree that children are people whom we should cherish. However, an even better reason is that Scripture clearly teaches that God cherishes us. Now, the Greek word that we translate as cherish, it actually means to keep warm. That's right, the word cherish in the Greek means to keep warm, a word we can relate to today. In fact, when we hear the word cherish, we might picture a mother wrapping a towel around a teeth-chattering child who just steps out of the backyard pool. Or maybe we think of a husband who puts his arm around his shivering wife when it's 20 below outside. When you think of such things, there you have a picture of what it means to cherish. Cherish the children means that we care for them and love them in a very close, warm, and protecting way. But who are these children that God wants us to cherish? Well, as I mentioned in the children's sermon, the Bible pictures a child as being unwise, unable, unequipped, and completely dependent on the action of others to survive and thrive. Therefore, according to the Bible, a child is anyone who is vulnerable and in need. A child is anyone who needs to be cherished. In other words, we are all children in God's eyes. You and I need to realize how much God really does cherish us. God saw that because of our sinful nature, we were all unwise, unable, unequipped, and completely dependent upon Him for our salvation. And so God wrapped us in the warm robe of His righteousness, a robe purchased when Jesus took the cold darkness of our sin upon Himself when He went to the cross. And His resurrection assures us that we have a living Savior who comes to us now through His Word and also in a very personal way through holy baptism and through His body and blood in the Lord's Supper. My friends, our starting place for cherishing the children is knowing and believing how much we have been cherished by our loving and living Savior. In fact, our loving and living Savior works in us through His Spirit to be His hands and feet to cherish other children, those who are vulnerable and in need. And so on this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Here's the first question. What do we see when we look at those who are still in the womb and not yet born? Do we see only a product of conception? Do we see a mistake? Do we see a choice that we can accept or reject? Do we see merely a source of stem cells? Well, Jesus sees children. Children who are completely dependent upon others. Therefore, we are to cherish them, welcome them, defend them, and speak up for them. And you can do this because you also are children who are cherished by our Heavenly Father. You can love and serve these children. And even more, you can bring these children to Jesus. You see, Jesus gives all people value through His price that He paid for our redemption. He gives value to all children because Jesus began His work for our salvation from the very beginning when He was in the womb of the Virgin Mary. You see, Jesus was conceived without sin to make up for us being conceived in sin. However, cherishing the children does not only apply to the humans who are still in the womb. For example, what do you see when you look at a frightened and despairing pregnant teenager who is in a crisis pregnancy? Do you see someone who is immoral? Do you see someone who brings shame to her family? Do you see merely a statistic? Well, Jesus sees a child. He sees someone in desperate need of love, help, and direction from us. So we are to cherish such people, welcome them, and do whatever is necessary so that God's good will for mother, for child, and for father is accomplished. And you can do this because you also are children cherished by our Heavenly Father. You can bring the love of Jesus to such children. I have another question. What do you see when you look at those who are filled with guilt and hopelessness because they had an abortion, or they paid for an abortion, or they performed an abortion? When you see such people, do you see them as the ultimate in wickedness? Do you see them as murderers? Do you look at them and say, how could anyone do something like that? Well, Jesus looks at such people and sees children whom he came to save. He sees children crushed by the weight of their guilt and unable to do anything about it. Well, we are to cherish such children, welcome them, listen to them, and help them deal with their burdens. And you can do this because you too are sinners who have been saved. You too are children cherished by the Heavenly Father. You can speak the truth in love to other disobedient children and then help them to see Jesus, who was crushed for all our horrible choices. And then he conquered death to bring us a living and certain hope that we too are cherished by God in spite of our many sins, and that we have been given victory over death and hell. I have yet one more question. What do we see when we look at people who have severe disabilities, the desperately ill, those who are barely conscious or totally unconscious? Do we see a burden? Do we see people lacking quality of life? Do we see people who don't deserve to live? Well, Jesus sees children. Children who need our love and support. We are to cherish such children, welcome them, care for them, and help them carry their burdens. And you can do this because you too are children cherished by our Heavenly Father. You can share the love of Jesus not only in word, but also in deed. In fact, you can help people to see that Jesus is saying to them, there is no infirmity or disability that can separate you from my love. There is no circumstance where I am not at work to help you. So whether I give you joy or sorrow, whether I give you pleasure or pain, whether I give you sickness or health, I give such life meaning and purpose, and I will strengthen your faith through it all. That's what Jesus says to us when we are suffering. Yes, my friends, these are all the children that we are called to cherish. And you can cherish them because Jesus Christ cherishes you. That leads us to our final point. We know already what cherish means. We also know who these children are that we are called to cherish. However, one more question remains. Why? Why should we cherish the children? Well, these words of Jesus give the answer. Jesus says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. There you have it, my friends. We are to cherish the children because they are precious to God. We are to cherish the children not merely because they are precious to us. No, we are to cherish the children because they are precious to God. We need to understand the importance of that message for us as God's people. We need to understand the uniqueness of that message for our culture. We are to cherish the children because they are precious to God. My friends, that's the essence of what our pro-life message is all about. You see, we are not pro-life because it's the politically advantageous thing to do, or because it's the economically logical thing to do, or because it's the socially proper thing to do. We are not pro-life merely because we think it's the right thing to do, or the ethical thing to do, or the moral thing to do. No, we are ultimately pro-life because God is pro-life. We are pro-life because His children of all ages, especially those who are vulnerable and in need, we are all precious to Him. We are pro-life because we also are precious to Him. Jesus saved us from the damnation our many sins deserve, and we have been called to new life through His resurrection for us. Jesus called us to be His children, and we know that He will also work through us to share His love with others, especially with others whom He longs to be His children in His eternal kingdom. And so Jesus, who works through us, has the power to make a real and eternal difference in the lives of others. And so, my friends, we are pro-life because God is pro-life. All the helpless children of this world are precious to Him. And all the people in this world are helpless children in His eyes. We are all helpless and hopeless because of our sin against God. But this same God chose to cherish the children, and He gave His Son for us that we might be His own, now and forever. Therefore, my friends, being pro-life is not merely the message of a group like Lutherans for Life. It's not just another nice thing that Christians should do if that's their thing. No, being pro-life is the message of Scripture. Being pro-life means imitating God's love for us in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, cherishing the children is not an option for Christians. It's not something we can take or leave. For us to cherish the children, to welcome the children, means that we are welcoming Jesus. On the other hand, to not cherish the children, to reject the children through our silence or our inactivity or our abuse, to reject such children is not to cherish Jesus. Our gospel reading, which you heard not long ago, is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. And you know, this would be a very, very easy text to preach on if it were not for verses 6 through 10. In those verses, Jesus Himself uses very strong language toward those who do not cherish or welcome the children and who cause the children to stumble. Jesus has words of woe and words about millstones around the neck and drowning in the depths of the sea and so on. What's Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to expose in each and every one of us the pro-death attitudes that lurk in our sinful nature. Now please understand, I'm not saying that if you have ever been anything less than perfectly pro-life that you're doomed to burn in hell forever. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what Jesus is saying either. He's simply pointing out that if we refuse to hear His words, and if we refuse to confess our pro-death attitudes, then that will be our fate. On the other hand, we can come to Jesus with all our sins, All our sins of inactivity, all our sins of selfishness, all our sins of hating and hurting others. We can come to Him with all our sins, knowing that Jesus is there to forgive us and transform us so that we might rejoice in His love and so that we might live out His love for us as His love moves us to cherish the children. My friends, we Christians have been given the most powerful and positive pro-life message there is. It's a message for all children who are saying, I've sinned against God. I'm in over my head. I'm helpless and hopeless. With such people, we get to share God's pro-life message and apply it to these people who are overwhelmed by life's physical and spiritual burdens. In closing, please remember that the primary message you should take with you today is not that we need to run out and start a new crisis pregnancy center, as wonderful as that would be. The primary message is not that we need to promote marriage and family and abstinence and adoption, as wonderful as those things are. The primary message is not that we are to cherish the children because they are important to us, although I hope they are. These are all wonderful things. However, the primary message is that we must cherish the children because they are precious to God. And what's the proof that God cherishes us? The proof that God cherishes us is found in the person and work of His Son. You see, the real miracle is that by nature we are not children of the Heavenly Father. By nature we are His enemies. And yet, God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son to the cross, that through His sacrifice, those who are by nature God's enemies might become His children now and for all eternity. And so the proof that God cherishes the children is the cross, where the ultimate love of God shines forth for all people, that we might know that God wants us all to be His children and that He wants to cherish us for all eternity. My friends, when this pro-life message captures your heart, all other good things will begin to flow from that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.